Round 73. If you're there, shout go Pelicans, because Anthony Davis got traded. Amen. And so some people care. Some people care. Thank you for joining in with me in our joy. Psalm 73. I don't know if you've ever had a bad day or a bad moment, a bad time in life. Sometimes good things or bad things will happen to good people. I don't know if you're aware, we try to walk righteously. Pastor Ted preached on Psalm 1. We're spending our summer in the Psalms, and it says this in Psalm chapter 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law he meditates day and night." And then Pastor Ted said, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, and whatever he does shall prosper." And there are people in the building this morning that would say, "Hey, I want to be righteous. I don't want to sit or stand in the path of sinners. I am moving myself away from those type of people." That was what Psalms 1 was about. But there are 150 Psalms, and not all of them are about being trees planted in the living water. Some of them are about deep discouragement. Some of them are about deep joy and how we found joy. Some of them are about how, God, where are you whenever bad things happen? And so today we're going to look at my favorite psalm, which is weird because my favorite psalm should be Psalm 23 or Psalm 119. But this chapter right here has helped sustain me through the bad times. Anybody ever been through a bad time? Just me and about 10 others. Amen. And so Psalm 73, there's a story of a whale that came to shore in Oregon, and I think it was in the 90s. I can't remember exactly what decade. It was a big fat whale that they didn't know what to do with, right? So this whale comes on shore, and it's before technology and before different things. And so what they decided to do is they said, "Hey, we're just going to blow it up." Not a good decision. I think we have a picture of it. I'm not quite sure. But if you can see the whale that came on shore, and then they just said, "We're going to blow this sucker up because we have no way to remove it." And pieces of whale came on the city, on the town. They said that it stank for days. Anybody ever been fishing? And you know what it's like when you go fishing and like you shrimp and you got all that shrimp mess around you, and it stank for days. Well, can you imagine just whale coming down on top of you? It was just a bad day for people. It's actually a bad week, a bad month. And even whenever you look it up on today's Google, you can see the time that someone blew up a whale. It was just a bad day. Everybody's doing the right thing, but unfortunately somebody made a bad decision somewhere, and whale pieces, whale chunks are just flying out from all over the place. This is what Psalm 73 is going to be about today. Psalm 73, when you did the right thing, but something bad happened anyway. Anybody ever did that? The right thing, but the bad thing happened anyway. You might have been gossiped about even though you chose to shut your mouth and not participate in that story. Someone did something unfair to you at work, and you've been living for the Lord and you've been walking in his ways. Maybe somebody else did something wrong and they didn't get caught, and you're wondering, why didn't they get caught? Or something else that's unfair. Or maybe infertility has hit your home and you're thinking, why am I infertile? But God, we did this all the right way. We waited until marriage, until we had sex. And all these things begin to come into your mind. How do you hold on to God when your life stinks? Not because of anything you've done, but just because life sometimes stinks. We see in Psalm 73 this man of God. He's actually a worship leader, an anointed worship leader. He's one of the top three in Israel. And you see that he's a worship leader who loves the Lord. In fact, in Psalm 73, verse 1, read with me. It says, "Truly," everybody say truly. That's how you know that you're serious, when you say truly. It says, "Truly, God is good to Israel." Everybody say good. So God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. So Asaph, who is the writer of this psalm, actually this is a different book. I think Psalms is divided into three or four different books, but this would be the beginning of the book. And Asaph says, he says, God is good to Israel. It's not that he's having a crisis of faith. It's not that he all of a sudden become an atheist or a Buddhist or a Muslim, because that wasn't even there yet. And so it wasn't even like any of those things are happening. He knows that God is good. Amen. He knows that God is good to the people who love God. That's the people in this scripture in Psalm 73 of Israel. He knows who God is, but he's having a hard time connecting with a good God and the things that he's seeing all around him. See, that's a moment in our lives. And you may not be going through this moment now, but I can promise you that you will eventually go through this moment. When I gave my life to the Lord, I was 14 years old. I thought I was going to stay on the mountain forever. I thought I was going to worship Jesus. No bad things were going to happen. And people said, oh, no, there's hills and valleys. And I said, no, I'm staying on the mountaintop forever. And you know, I go back into the places of what? Deep valleys and depressions. And we come back to the hills. And Asaph is in one of these moments of a valley, of a moment where maybe I just don't feel like singing Set a Fire down deep in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control because you're not right there with the Lord. And that's okay because Asaph is going to explain to us how to get out of these funky places. Sometimes God is closer than you think. You might have been seeing and looking at the wrong thing, and the writer of Psalms is in his feelings, if you would. You ever been in your feelings? A lot of people stay up in their feelings, and it's interesting that a man is up in his feelings, and he's feeling something, he's feeling some type of way, though he is a worship leader, and though he is anointed, and though he is called of God. He says, I know that God is good. Truly, he is good. Psalm 73 says, but I'm having some problems. Look at verse 2. It says this. Let's go back to verse 1. It says, truly, God is good to Israel. It says, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. Everybody say almost. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled and my steps had nearly slept. So here's Asaph, though he knows that the Lord is good and he knows that God is good to Israel. He says, I am in a place in my life right now where my feet are getting ready to stumble. I'm getting ready to go back to the place that I used to be at. And I know that that place is no good for me, but I am looking and I am seeing all these things happening. And I'm not quite sure that God is still good to Israel. I'm in a place where my feet are stumbling, where I'm thinking that maybe they have it better somewhere else, where people are doing the wrong thing and they get rewarded. They say, I'm going to go back and look at those people. And Asaph takes his eyes off of the Lord and he puts his eyes on man. I'm going to say that again. Asaph takes his eyes off of the Lord and he puts his eyes on the things of man. So his feet begin to stumble because he's not looking at the king. He is looking at the things that the king has created. He is looking at the creation. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll be in like a doctor's office and I'll start flipping through the magazines and you'll see all the celebrities. You know what I'm talking about? The trashy ones. You know what I'm talking? Can I get an amen for trashy? Yeah. And so trashy celebrities, and I'll be looking at them and I'll look at their house, and you look at their house and you're like, wow, look what they got, God. But they're a part of Psalms 1. They're the sinners, the scoffers. And you look at what they have and you begin to take your eyes off the Lord and you begin to focus on what you don't have. Well, we're sitting here on the east side of Houma with four kids and, you know, a husband. And, you know, like, and all of a sudden your mind starts going to places that you have no business that your mind goes. Why? Because you're looking at the things of this world. You might be looking at the person who got a pay raise on their job and you say, but God, I've been doing the right thing. And you're looking at a man instead of looking at your Creator. And God, and Asaph says, my feet are this close. You ever been that close? I remember when I was single, I was that close. I just wanted to not be single anymore. And I remember I was that close to slipping and falling and saying, God, I don't care if he is a Christian or not. I'm just going to do my own thing. In my mind, I thought that. You see, Asaph is writing this down. Imagine that you're writing it down in your journal. Your journal is different than saying it out loud. Can I say that? Your darn journal, whatever you're writing down, is not the things that you were acting out. We see this in Job. Remember Job, he writes all these things before the Lord, and he has these moments where, God, I am getting ready to slip. And that's where Asaph is. I am getting ready to lose my mind up in here. And so you can see that he's saying, my feet are almost there, and he begins to pin down. He begins to write down some things on why he's getting ready to, and saying, God, it's not fair. These things are not fair. I've followed you. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. Look at verse 3. Here's the why. If you want to know, well, why is Asaph in the place that he's in? Why is his feet almost slipping? It says, for I was envious. Everybody say envious. We've all been there. We have all have something that we're envious out. Their kids are better than yours. Their husband is better than yours. Their wife is better than yours. You begin looking and you become envious. And basically what happens in Asaph's life is envy clouds everything. Envy clouds everything that has happened. And he sees this and he looks at the envious and he says, for I was envious. He's checking out the other players on the other team. He's looking at them and saying, God, they're succeeding and I'm failing. They're living in better homes than me. They're driving better cars than me. They have it all together and I don't. And you're looking at the other players, and look at, he looks at, he says, for I was envious of the arrogant. Everybody say arrogant. If you're underlining words, you should look at that word envious, and you should look at who he's looking at. The arrogant are people who make sure that you notice them. You ever been in a room and somebody walks in that's arrogant? You better know that they're in the room, because that's how arrogant people work. They want to make sure that you notice who they are and where they came from and who their people are. And so the arrogant, he says, I was envious of the arrogant. Why? Because they're always puffing themselves, making them look better on Facebook and Instagram than they really are. And so you start seeing these pictures that aren't true, that have been photoshopped and whatever else. And you look at them and they're arrogant in all their ways. And Asaph was looking and he says, I was envious of them, God. I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity. Everybody say prosperity. So he sees the envious and he becomes envious of two kinds of people. The arrogant, who people will notice them. And then he saw the prosperity. The people that were living well and doing good. It was a trap of the world. It is a trap of the world. When you look at people, when you look at prosperity, when you look at the arrogant, that is a trap of the enemy. And he may not be able to trap you into sin, but he can trap you into envy, which is a sin. You see, the enemy would love to get us in some kind of real sin, what we consider the big sins. I don't know, adultery or those kind of things. You look at those big sins and you say, wow, that's where people fall. But I would say your feet are falling when you become envious of the arrogant and you become envious of prosperity and you become envious of things that in eternity don't really matter. And you look at those things and they distract you and your feet, they get ready to stumble and you're ready to fall because you've been doing the right thing and you've been sticking to it and you see all of the success and all of these things. And Asaph says, I've looked at the arrogant and I've seen the prosperity of the wicked, those who are against God. You ever notice that? There are some people who are against God who are still prosperous. There are. I tell my kids all the time, life is not fair. I don't know if they believe me, but it's just not fair. It's not fair the way they grew up. It's not fair the way I grew up. It's not fair. There are things in life that we cannot understand until we see Jesus face to face. And Asaph had let his eyes off of what really mattered. He's looking at prosperity. He's looking at the arrogant. He's becoming envious. He's becoming he's looking at the wicked. And Asaph has let envy in the door. You ever let envy in the door? Here's the problem. You open the door to envy, and it covers every part of your life. It doesn't discontent with just your family. It'll take your job. It will take your marriage. It will take your position, your purpose. Oh, I wish my purpose was this instead of this purpose. Why am I just this and not that kind of person? You might be an introvert. You want to be an extrovert. You might be an extrovert. You want to be an introvert. Why? Because you're envious of people and things that God has never, ever created you to be. Your purpose is to be his. And when you look at anything else, Asaph has let envy in the door, and it's covering everything. Look, I'm going to read from the Message because I like the Message. So look at the screen for the next couple of verses. Here's what he says, sort of in a nutshell. He says, pretentious with arrogance. They wear the latest fashions and violence. They're pampered. So he just begins going off. Now remember, he's not speaking out loud. He's just writing in a journal, okay? So he's just writing into, and of course we get to read his journal. Isn't that awesome? And so we get to read what he's written before the Lord, but he is not speaking these things out loud. We're going to see that in a couple of verses. It says, pretentious with arrogance. They wear the latest fashions and violence. They're pampered. They're overfed. They're decked out in silliness. They jeer, using words to kill. They bully their way with their words. They're full of hot air. They're loudmouths, disturbing the peace. You got any of those in your life? Amen. And people actually listen to them. Can you believe it? Like puppies, they lap up their words. What's going on here? Is God out to lunch? Nobody's tending the store. They're wicked. They get by with everything they haven't made. Piling up riches. I've been stupid to play by the rules. What has it gotten me? A long run of bad luck. That's what. A slap in the face every time I walk through the door. And so Asaph is pouring out his soul to the Lord. He says, God, it's stupid. I've been following you. I've been playing by the rules. I've been blessed as the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Godly sits in the path of cedars, sits in the scorners, and he says, it has gotten me nothing. It has been nothing for me or for my life, and here I am, and my feet are almost stumbling. I'm talking to people in the room that you're this close to walking out of the door. More and more people in our generation and the generations behind me, the youngers, they're walking out of the door on Christianity. They're not becoming Buddhists from what I see, or Muslim, or anything else. They're becoming nothings. You know what a nothing is? Do you know that 25% of your nation is now a nothing? They believe in nothing. We'll just do our thing. Why? Because they have taken their eyes off of the Creator, and they have focused on the creation, and they think the creation is better than the Creator. And that's where Asaph is. He's like, I'm one step, God, and I am an anointed worship leader, and I am one step from closing the door, all of this. But look what he says in verse 15. If you have a pen or a pencil, you should highlight this. You should, I don't know what you do, but you should say this. It says, if I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. Let me read that again. It says, if I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed. Everybody say betrayed. You would have betrayed the generation of your children. It is okay at times to be in your feelings. God gave you feelings. He gave you emotions. Men and women, we both have them. Even men, you have emotions. You do, because this is a man who wrote this verse. And so we see that even though you have feelings, it is not something that you say out loud. Look, he says, if I would have spoken it out loud, that's what thus means. If I would have spoken everything that I just felt, everything that I wrote down, what would he have done? I would have what? Betrayed. Somebody say betrayed. See, this is essential to who we are. I cannot speak all the time. I cannot post all of my feelings up on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat, young people, or whatever the next thing is. I cannot post all of those things because I would have betrayed a generation of people. And you say, well, I don't even have a family. You would betray a spiritual generation of people. You don't understand. You think this is just about you and your feelings and your emotions. This is not about you and your feelings and your emotions. You are your brother's keeper. And in Genesis chapter 4, Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? And God would say, yes, you are. You are a direct influence of who I am. You know, my children hurt when people don't come to church. I'm just going to be honest. Before you quit, before you throw in the towel and you say, that's it, I quit coming. That's it, I'm walking out on the Lord. That's it, I'm going to listen to the things of the world. Before you do that, think of the consequences. Think of the consequences. Before you drop out on your marriage and say, well, that's it. No one else cares about marriage. I quit caring about marriage. Before you take something that doesn't belong to you, before your feet almost stumble, think about the consequences. Think, if not for you, think about the generation that's coming behind you. We are in the place that we're in America because there were some people who didn't think about their kids and their grandkids. And I'm just, I mean, thankful for the men and women of God that have done it right. But there are people and a group of people that are hurting and young people that are hurting and are messed up because there were some people that were a little bit older than them that stayed up in their feelings instead of stayed up in the house of God. You see, there's a difference. Feelings are just 2 minutes. Staying in the house of God affects me, it affects my 4 kids, it affects their kids and their kids' kids. So the longer that I can live for the Lord and stay faithful to God, I will not throw in the towel. Say that, I will not throw in the towel. It says this, consider the next generation. Some of us need to repent right here because you have allowed your emotions to deceive you. It has affected your spiritual walk. It has also affected the spiritual walk of all the people in your life. Don't think they're not affected. People are affected by you. They are. People are affected by your walk. God has given you a sphere of influence. He has given you a place to live and move and breathe. And you have a purpose. Your purpose is to glorify Him so that Jesus will bring men and women unto Himself. That is your purpose. And you have a different bubble and a different sphere. And each one of you in the room has a different place, a different sphere. And God has given that to you. And the only thing that you cannot do is give up. The only thing that you cannot do is throw in the towel. You have to keep on going on. Asaph realized, I've got to keep on. I'm a worship leader. You know, if he would have quit, the anointing of God in worship times throughout all of Israel would have been lessened because he left. He quit playing the game. He quit staying steadfast unto the Lord, and he knows it. And he knows not only will that people be affected, the generations behind me will be affected. You can't. It affects your kids. This affects your family. Show up. And we were a family, if we were on vacation, we showed up to whatever church it was. Why? Because we had to know that God was there. What my mom and dad did affected me and my brother and my sister, either good or bad. Both. They both affected me. The good things that they did and the bad things. But one thing my family always did was they stayed in the house of the Lord. They gave their life to the Lord, and I can't even ever remember missing a Sunday because my mom had a sore throat. We went to church with a sore throat. Get some cough drops. Amen. God made them. Amen. There has to be a place where you say, I don't care what everybody else does, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I am going to live to my last breath saying, God, you have been my everything. Consider your children. Consider your children's children. Consider every decision that you make outside of the will of God has an effect on your family. It has an effect on your spiritual family. We're together in this. When you hurt, I hurt. When you don't show up, I get a little bit like a mom. I do. Ted worries about me because I think about it too much and I pray about it too much. Your actions influence the generations. Everybody say generations that are coming behind you. Don't be selfish. Don't be selfish and think your actions only impact you. See, none of these words would have been written in Psalm 73. But he stayed in his feelings. He wrote them. But they did not change his actions. See, you can write things, you can think things, but your actions have to be the same. Your actions have to be the same. Because you're in your feelings, it doesn't make any difference. Because in verse 17, this is my favorite scripture. It says, until. Everybody say, until. Everything that I have just said is of no effect. Because Asaph does not stay in his feelings. He says, until what? I went into the what? The sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. So all of the envy and things that he had, he was looking at it from the wrong perspective. He was looking at it from like down here. And he saw all the wealth and the wicked and all those things. And he looks at it. Why? Because he had gotten away from the sanctuary of the Lord. There are times in my life where I've gotten away from the sanctuary of the Lord. I've gotten away from the house of the Lord. I have to show up. I'm the preacher's wife. I know that. I have to be here. But in my heart, I have gotten away from the sanctuary of the Lord. And the problem is, is that all of this begins to look different when you're down here. But when you go into the sanctuary of the Lord, and when you say, as for me and my house, I don't care all the feelings that I just wrote about from 4 until verse 14, until, everybody say until you go into the sanctuary of the Lord. And here's why 24-hour prayer, we do it. That's why we say the sanctuary is open at 9 in the morning. That's why come at 9:30 on any Sunday morning and we're praying. Why? We are creating a sanctuary where God can speak to us, and I don't have to be envious of the arrogant and the wicked. Everything makes sense again in the sanctuary. Everybody say sanctuary. In the sanctuary of the Lord, my depression lifts in the sanctuary of the Lord. My problems are solved in the sanctuary of the Lord. Everything makes sense in God's sanctuary. Living for eternity makes sense when you give up everything to serve the Lord. That makes sense in the sanctuary of the Lord. That does not make sense in today's world. Getting rid of sin makes sense in the sanctuary of God. Being faithful makes sense in the sanctuary of God. Fighting for your marriage makes sense in the sanctuary of God. Fasting for your kids makes sense in the sanctuary of God. Tithing and being generous makes sense in the sanctuary of God. Forgiving someone who deserves no forgiveness makes sense in the sanctuary of God. Picking up your cross and following Jesus makes sense in the sanctuary of God. Somebody say sanctuary of God. So where does the enemy keep you from? The sanctuary of God. 1 week, I get nervous. 2 weeks, I get scared because the enemy is good. He might not have you up in a bar somewhere or some back on some drug that you did 10, 15 years ago. He might not have you in that place, but he will have your feet almost slipping and stumbling. And if he can keep you from the sanctuary of the Lord, and this is a sanctuary, but you can also have that in your own private time, Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays. He will keep you from your quiet time, calling out into the Lord, keep you from 24-hour prayer. Why? Because then he knows that he has grabbed you and he has a hold of you. Until you get your butt, can I say that? Until you get your butt, I just did. Until you get your butt into the sanctuary of the Lord and say, I can't leave until God moves. And that means that I am going to spend time in his presence and I'm going to listen to what God has to say. Until my kids are acting a little bit different, amen, summer's here, I'm going to stay in the sanctuary of the Lord. I'm going to fast. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I cannot be, and Asaph said, I cannot be an anointed man and worship leader. I can feel a certain way, but I cannot be a certain way. So I'm going to find myself in the sanctuary. Somebody say sanctuary. In the sanctuary of the Lord, the last thing that the enemy wants is for Asaph, one of Israel's most anointed worship leaders, to go into the sanctuary. But he knows, Asaph knows, if I just get back there, if I just get back to that place. Remember, and John writes in Revelation, he says this, he says, but your heart has grown cold. Return to where you used to be at. It's the same idea. Return to the sanctuary of the Lord. So what that problems have hit you? You're looking at a people in this room that problems have hit us. We don't look this good when we wake up in the morning. This is a little fake. When I get up and I have problems, these are things that have hit us and our family and your families. But when we go together into the sanctuary of the Lord, maybe you're still struggling with some injustice that you've been dealt with, or you feel a commitment, you've lacked your commitment to God. Before you bail out on God, come back to the sanctuary. Come and make a sanctuary. And as Asaph did, would you look at the end of the verse? Look at verse 21. I love this. This is a psalm I should probably memorize for my life, because we get hit, but we come back. Verse 21, it says, when. Everybody say when. So now he's looking in past tense, and he says, when my soul was embittered, full of envy, when I was pricked in the heart, I was brutish and ignorant. And I was like a beast towards you. So Asaph just owns up, man, God, I was dumb. That what I wrote was stupid. That didn't make any sense, but that's the way I was feeling. Sometimes your feelings don't make any of the sense. But in verse 23, he says, nevertheless, I am continually, say continually, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me to glory. So he's even reminding himself that this is not even my home, that heaven is. And so he says, I am going to glory. Who am I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God, somebody say God. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those are far from you, they shall perish. You shall put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, say for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge that I may tell. Somebody say tell. Of your works. See, what Satan wanted was for Asaph to quit telling of the works of God. There must have been such a power and anointing on his life that when he spoke, men and women would come to the cross. They would come to hear about the Savior, the Lord of Israel. They must have seen those things and heard those things. And the enemy was attacking Asaph and said, don't go in the sanctuary. He may be attacking your life and saying, quit, just give up, it's not worth it. But I want to tell you, there's a place in the sanctuary. Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? We're going to spend a moment. Now, my moment, and I know it's Father's Day, and some of us got to be wherever and go wherever and do things. I know that. I know that one chorus of one song is not going to fix it. There are times in my life where the burden is so deep and my feet are so close to slipping. It takes an hour just to work through and say, God, here. I didn't mean it when I said, light a fire in my soul that I can't contain. I didn't mean that. Asaph was honest. I didn't mean that, Lord. I'm looking at the envious and I'm looking at the world. And maybe your vision has been on the wrong thing. The third song that we sing with Holy Spirit is saying, God, I want to be close. See, that's what the Psalms is about, not about doing all the right stuff. It's more about being close to your Creator. Asaph knew what it was to be close to God, but he knew what it was to be far. I know both in my life. I know what it is to be close, and I know what it is to be far. And I can tell you, my friends, it is better to be close to the Lord. It is better to set up a sanctuary and say, I'm not leaving until God moves. And it might not fix the problems of your life. It may not. You may not go home and everything's good at home, or all of a sudden, like, the things that you've been crying out to God just instantly appear. It may not happen that way. It has. But God is God and He doesn't have to. But it's you that change. It's your heart that changes. All right, God, we're not able to have kids. We're going to adopt four from the Philippines. Cool. That happened in the sanctuary of the Lord for me personally. So whatever your burden is or the things that you haven't been able to accomplish and you think all the world is winning, I want to say they're not. All right, God, you're calling me to be single, but everybody else is not single and everybody else is doing their own thing. So you're looking at the wrong thing. You're not in the sanctuary of the Lord. God, you want me to fight for my marriage, but nobody else is fighting. Even in the church, God, nobody's fighting for their marriages anymore. But you're looking at the wrong thing. And you need to come back to the sanctuary of the Lord. You want more stuff? Stuff is not eternal. Come back to the sanctuary of the Lord. Let your heart burn again for Him. He's just calling us back. He is the greatest. And Asaph said that. I was ignorant and a brute, when I thought any other way. Today, if you just need to rekindle your love for the Lord, maybe you've been looking at the wrong thing, or you have some issues, and those issues, you've been in your feelings, and so now your feelings overrule your God, and you just need to put God back on his throne. He never left. You made him leave. So just stand up right here, right where you are, and say, okay, God, I'm coming back. God, I'm coming back to the sanctuary. I remember right before, I'm going to shut up eventually, but I remember right before I met Ted, I was at a place I had been like messed over. I don't know who this is for. And I just said, God, that's it. I quit dating. I'm 32 years old. And if I am single for the rest of my life, so be it. That happened in the sanctuary of the Lord. And I just said, God, I'm just going to use my life for you, for the kingdom, for whatever it is that you have. I quit fighting. I just let go and I just say yes to you. Maybe today you just need to quit fighting and just say yes to the Lord. That happens in the sanctuary where you just surrender and say, okay, God, my kids are yours. God, my family is yours. My job is yours. My marriage is yours. Whatever it is there anybody else in the room that you would say, I need to come back to the sanctuary of the Lord? And ladies and gentlemen, this is just not today in this moment. This is tomorrow morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday afternoon or whenever it is. You find a place in your house and you make a sanctuary and you say, God, this time is yours. I'm not going to be envious of the arrogant or the wicked or their prosperity. I'm going to live with a heavenly vision, Lord. I'm going to quit looking at this earth and I'm going to quit looking at you. And if today that's your heart, can we just say, God, start a fire? Can you just sing that with us?
Start a fire in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
Just the beginning of a prayer.
God, I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
Let him go.
I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Yeah. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Yeah, we want more, yeah. To be in your presence, God. To be in your presence, God. We want more of you, Lord, yeah. Oh, we want more. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. Yeah. I want more of you, God. Yeah. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. That I can't. other place, no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. We want to be with you, God. No place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more. We want more.
God, that's our prayer. God, that's my prayer. God, we want our lives to be sanctuaries. God, we don't want our feet to slip or to stumble. God, get our envy out of the wicked and the arrogant and the prosperity that we see around us. God, help us to shut our mouths so that the future generations come up strong. God, my prayer is that they would come up strong. They would see godly men and women that don't throw in a towel because of an event. But God, instead that we would say, this is a sanctuary. This is a place where God lives. Look at what the Lord has done. And that we would continue to tell of the good works of our King. As long as you give us breath, God, that we would tell of the good works of our King. That we would not be focused on the world, but that we would focus our affection on you. God, let this psalm burn deep into us. We thank you and we give you the praise. You're dismissed. If you just need to stay here for a moment and stay here and do some business with the Lord. We don't often do this, but it's a chance. We know that you have Father's Day. Love on your fathers if you have them. Pray for the ones that you need to forgive. In Jesus' name, and the thrift store is open as well if you want to go and check that out. But we love you guys, and we'll see you this Wednesday. If you just want to stay in the presence of the Lord and do some business, we'll stay here for a couple moments. In Jesus' name.